blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. I am your host, Jersey Strong Jay from ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I'm a writer, I'm a radio host, a webmaster. I do a lot of things. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is the place to be. But if you're joining us here tonight, you are here because we will have none other than the prodigy Mike Bennett, ROH star, independent wrestling superstar, on the line with us tonight. He should be on shortly. Just to let you guys know, let's just hope that this goes on as planned. I don't want to have any serious technical difficulties with this big interview that we have tonight. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you my co-host for this evening. He's none other than the one, the only, the man that makes Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV go. He is Will TLD Vampires. Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Will, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing just wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. I am TLD here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm always loving to be here, especially on this very, very important evening.
Absolutely. I just want to let you know, too, Will, I'm sure you're just listening. Blog Talk Radio did say there was some minor technical difficulties, so if there's any issues with the audio or with people trying to call in, I apologize. It's not my fault. It's Blog Talk Radio's fault. But they are... You know, I guess they're working on it. They're trying to get things going in the right direction. But we got a big night tonight, TLD. The prodigy Mike Bennett.
I'm here.
Yeah, he'll be on the line.
Mike Bennett's on tonight?
I'm sorry?
Oh, my God. I thought it was a special episode because I was coming on, but I had no idea Mike Bennett was going to be here.
The prodigy, man.
Everybody
wants him
now.
And there's, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that we have to talk to with Mike Bennett about because – I've noticed some things on the Ring of Honor website that we're going to get into. You know, there's been rumblings on the independent wrestling scene about certain guys that WWE seems to have their eye on. Maybe he's one of them. Maybe he's not. Maybe he'll let us know what's going on. I'm not quite sure. We'll have to see what he's got to say. He will be with us a little bit later on. I did get in touch with him, so he's guaranteed to be on tonight. So, TLD, how's it going, man? How's everything?
You know, everything's been going good. You know, the last week I've had like an epiphany ever since we've been doing things here at Blog Talk Radio and doing things on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. The one thing that has really been, I don't know if you have a schedule tonight, but there's something that's been on my mind that's been kind of annoying, and maybe it has everything to do with why pro wrestling is no longer, like, basically, like, no one likes it or is not into it anymore. It just seems hold on a second. Let me get outside because I'm walking from work and now there's a big fan going on. You know, I do apologize for this, just getting out of work, but,
That's what live radio is all about, ladies and gentlemen. There are certain kinds of circumstances that we can't always, fix or whatever. So go ahead, Will. What do you got to say?
Okay.
What's on your mind, bud?
I mean, this has to be on your mind, too. I mean, think of the amount of fans that have left not doing pro wrestling anymore. A lot of fans went on to do other things. My friends did as well. But meanwhile, the people that are still watching the product, I mean, I never seen so many people hate on a product more than pro wrestling, even though they watch it every week. I mean, what other type of sport or what other type of show or movie do people keep watching it over and over and over, but keep always hating it every week? I mean, do you not notice that?
I absolutely notice it, man. And it's something that I want to try to change a little bit with what we're doing here at PWP. There's a big negative connotation that goes around the entire wrestling business, and I think we need to be a little bit more positive. Because these guys,
right.
No matter who you are, if you're and you wrestle, man, like if you're going out and you're strapping on those boots and the tights and you're getting in between those ropes and that squared circle, you are busting your ass for the fans, for the entertainment, for our enjoyment. That's what you're doing. That's your job. We need to have a certain amount of respect and positivity for that. I mean, there's always going to be critics, no matter what. You know, you said entertainment, you said sports. There's critics nonstop. I mean, I watch SportsCenter, and not a day goes by where there's not some kind of negative sports story. No matter how many positive ones there are, they always accentuate the negative ones. And that's just the same thing with wrestling. All the negative stories are just accentuated. And I guess it's more so because there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there, and WWE especially caters to the social networking, Twitter and whatnot. So there's a lot of people out there that just want to talk shit, and that's all they want to do.
Right, and there are some people on even, like, there's times where we talk it, you know, like, think about it. I mean, look how much stuff you talk about TNA. Like, what set me off about this was when Taz joined the Aces and Eights. That, to me, was what set it off, because people were hating on it at someone. I'm like, you know, I was like, did you have any idea that was going to happen? And everyone was like, oh, no, I didn't know it was going to happen, but I don't like it. I was like, nothing's even happened yet, and you're already hating on it. It's like, I don't get why pro wrestling fans hate on pro wrestling. Does that make any sense to me? I mean, I'm trying to understand. I was like, if you don't like the product, you can switch to another channel. But why are you not switching to another channel? Just don't watch it anymore. My friends don't watch it anymore, and they don't hate on it. They just don't watch it. But people who watch it hate on it. And it's like, I'm like, you're doing more harm than good, if anything. I mean, imagine a fan, someone who turned on wrestling for the first time, right? And he's watching it, and then all these people who are looking at it, let's say he goes online, it's just all these rumor sites or all these wrestling websites who put a lot of negative content on it, then why would you want to watch it? If all these people are negative on it, even people who watch it every week and are negative on everything that's going on, you know, why are you, you know, you're doing more harm than good. You know, that's just how I look at it when it comes to, you know, pro wrestling. I mean, I don't understand it. Like, even the Raw 20th anniversary, people had so many high expectations, and right away they put the show down because, I didn't get to see Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels. You know, like, they were going to make a big difference anyway on the show. But the show overall was really good. Was it not good? I mean, if you take the 20th anniversary away, people say, oh, it's a great Raw. But because it's a 20th anniversary, people were expecting big returns. You had Ric Flair. You had Mick Foley. I didn't know they were going to be on the show. You know, I didn't hate the show. You know, but so many people put so many bad taste on it, and I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, nothing makes a wrestling fan happy. I try to be as positive as I can. I try not to go around the negative stuff, and there is some stuff, but I don't talk about it every week.
Yeah, and no matter what realm of entertainment you're talking about, there's going to be stuff that sucks. That's you know, beyond the fact. Everybody knows that. But as far as the point you brought up earlier about Taz and the Aces and Eights reveal, I actually like that. I watched that episode just because I kind of had a feeling that something was going to happen. You're not going to have some weird wedding with Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray and have nothing happen. That's just not going to be that way. So I knew something was going to happen. And
pro wrestling never work out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The fact is, man, I was happy about it. I was pretty pumped up. I was like, dude, Taz, the human suplex machine, is finally going to do something that matters in professional wrestling besides just being a commentator for the last 10 years or whatever. He, you know, I've always loved Taz. I've been a Taz mark my entire life. And I want to see him get on that mic and tear somebody up verbally, because he can. He can do it. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before he does. So I was happy to see that happen. But what really got me thinking about the same exact subject, Will, is I was listening to the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana, and he had Jeremy Borash on the line, and they were talking about, you know, what exactly, they were talking about why there's so much negativity in the wrestling business and how we got to start to, like, just bring the positive out and just try to take a little bit of positive, even if there's stuff that's negative. Try to get a little bit of positivity into it, no matter what you can do. And that's what we're trying to do here, folks. And that's something I want to talk to Mike Bennett about a little bit later, is when he comes on the show. I've seen his Twitter feed. These fans blow up on Mike Bennett. They go off on him. Why? I don't know. You know, he's not your stereotypical Ring of Honor competitor. But I'll tell you what, man, that guy is fantastic out there. And, you know, they're rough on him. They're rough on the dude. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about that later on tonight.
They're rough on Ring of Honor in general. And, like, you know, I've been rough on Ring of Honor in the past where things I don't think make sense. But I had a little behind-the-scenes action behind it, which kind of put me on the negative side of it. You know, but on the positive, the benefits of it, great wrestling, you know, nonstop action. And not to mention now, which is something I would like to ask him, is Ring of Honor used to be the breeding ground for, it looked like, TNA. And now it looks like WWE's kind of looking at Ring of Honor as the breeding ground. You know, ever since they had CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, all these guys come over, you know, the Seth Rollins of the world, you know, all those guys come over from Ring of Honor, they're making an impact, you know, in the WWE and even TNA with guys like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. So look at what Ring of Honor has done to help the package, honestly, the internet wrestling fans that's who they want to see. You know, that's just a little taste of what we get. Meanwhile, we leave the bigger John Cena's, the Alberto Del Rio's, to the younger kids, the WWE fans, the younger fans of the generation.
Now, you know, we brought up a great point here, folks. You got to start being a little more positive. For all the negativity that's out there, there is, you know, 10 things that are completely positive going on in the wrestling business. And we really got to focus on that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, think about it. We're going to WrestleMania. We're going to be like kids in a candy store when we go to WrestleMania, right? I mean, those events. Those events, like, you know, like, that's my vacation this year. I didn't go to Jamaica. This is my vacation because I just love going to these events where it's larger than life and they're just fun to go to. I always enjoy myself. Like, I'm at home. I'm not standing up cheering, but when I'm in when I'm actually there, I feel electricity in the air, and I'm always a part of it. You know, it's always fun, and we take away the fun by just talking all negative stuff, like, you know, who's getting pushed, who's not getting pushed, who has a belt, who doesn't have a belt. You know, why can't we're supposed to get away from reality and just enjoy it for what it is. You know, and you can be a negative you can be negative on it, but, you know, you can either keep it to yourself or just say you didn't like that. But don't go crazy about it and write articles about it or bring up these wrestling rumors that make no sense and don't even happen.
Oh, yeah. These guys, the Meltzers of the world, whatever, whoever you want to call it, these guys just make up rumors. I promise you. And they're never held accountable. Like, I'll just give an example. I went on our Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group on Facebook, and I wrote one of the craziest rumors I could possibly write. And I completely made it up. I just sat there and I typed it. I didn't put any source. I just typed it out. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people bought it. Some people bought it. Some people were like, wow, it had something to do with WWE bringing in Lance Armstrong to feud with John Cena after WrestleMania because of the lack of star power that they'll have. You know, like, Lance Armstrong will come in as a top heel. He's still an athletic competitor and yada, yada, yada. And I wrote this long, elaborate thing how Triple H is interested in Armstrong and all this good stuff. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I made it up. I really did. And I was hoping that somebody would be like, ooh, this looks like great news, and, like, forward it to one of these other websites, and it just, like, catch fire, you know what I'm saying, and just goes all over the place. Because I was just proving a point. And also with this the linebacker from Notre Dame, Monte Teo, who made up his girlfriend, apparently, to gain some publicity, he denies it. I think he's lying. I think he definitely made up his girlfriend that apparently had leukemia, you know, passed away. He used a sympathy card on various interviews. And I said, you know, WWE is going to try to rehash this gimmick. wait, they already did it. It's Katie Vick. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like these news with a big fat Z on the end of it, websites need to be held accountable. They need to start manning up and just reporting positive news and stuff that is just like confirmed. No, stop with the rumor crap. Nobody wants to know about these rumors and these spoilers and this BS. Nobody wants to know it. I'm sure people do. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure people do. But what they're doing is they're ruining what's great about professional wrestling. That's what they're doing. They're ruining the surprise factor. They're ruining everything about it. I didn't need to know that El Generico got signed. You know, I didn't need to know that. I would have been happy if I saw him pop up randomly on Monday Night Raw without knowing he got signed. So, but on this kind of level, CLD, while we're talking about this, and we mentioned Taz being the newest member of Aces and Eights, what are your initial reactions to Taz joining Aces and Eights?
You know, Jay, the little me's are getting a little hot in here. Getting a little hot in here right now in my car. I'm not lying, by the way, which is why I'm saying it. I thought that was a new creative idea. I had no idea Taz would be the guy to join Aces and Eights. And what I liked about it was the camera work was great. I thought the fact they took it off, the crowd behind him, whose camera side, saw it first. And then he turns around, and then we, the fans, see it. That's a great little idea. No one had any idea that was going to happen. And it was the Aces and Eights, man. They destroyed that wedding. And it was great because a lot of people thought, you know, Brooke would turn or, you know, Hogan would turn. It was totally out of, you know, nowhere. And it was great to see Tommy Dreamer, Spike Dudley. I'm surprised Rob Van Dam wasn't out there. But, you know, that was a very creative way to do it. And I'm intrigued. I think it brought a lot of life back into the Aces and Eights angle. I think it really now is a big surprise because now you have another guy in it. They didn't unmask anybody, which is even better. They didn't, like, it wasn't a reveal in a way. I thought it was very creative. I think if they built that whole thing up the entire night, and the ratings showed that people were interested because people watched it. So I thought it was really great. You know, they picked the right two people to do it because they said, "Oh, Ray Dudley is not married. Doesn't have anybody. You really can't get like any TMZ sort of thing to do with the Taylor thing. This is an actual. You know what? They might really be married. They might really like each other."
Hey, Will. Hey, TLD, man, you're breaking up really bad right now. I don't know what you're doing, but you're breaking up pretty bad.
Crazy.
You there, bud?
Yeah, I'm there. Hello.
All right, hey, yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad. I don't know if we caught the last couple of sentences. But, no, I get your point. Like, it definitely stirred up a little bit of intrigue, which is what it's sorely needed. You know, that angle needed something to kind of get it moving in the right direction. And this, you know, it could do it. It depends where they go from here. Because TNA has that, and I've always said it, and I'm not being negative. I want the company to succeed. I want them to start kicking some ass, taking some names, and compete with WWE. That's what we all want. We want to see competition again, although chances are we probably won't. But that's what we want to see. And they need to continue moving this at a more rapid pace. You know, you just revealed Taz, created some buzz. Let's continue doing it. Let's reveal somebody else. Let's get this show on the road. Let's keep this angle, you know, moving at a steady pace instead of just dropping behind on the eight ball, no pun intended, and, you know, just I don't know. I don't really know how to put it. I just think they need to reveal another guy next week, keep the momentum going that they may have picked up from this little boost in the ratings that they had.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I hope they go forward with it. I think it's going to work.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what, TLD? Like I said, Blog Talk Radio is having some issues. I'm not sure if your signal's bad or if it's Blog Talk Radio that is the problem right now, but I could barely hear what you're saying. But before Mike Bennett calls in, it should be shortly, he said he'd be in right around 9:30 or so. Let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw last night. We had an episode of Monday Night Raw that was a go-home show to the Royal Rumble. You know, a lot of people are tearing apart seeing this promo at the end, but I called it a mile away. I knew what was going to happen. Everybody knew what was going to happen. The promo wasn't even really necessary. You know, they should have just brought everybody out and had a big cluster to to end the show as it was. But the big news that came out of this show was the Shield attacking the Rock, causing some kind of injury. I think the Rock said he had, you know, internal bleeding, problem with his lungs, something along those lines, but he'll be fine for the Royal Rumble. And then we got the stipulation from Vince McMahon that if the Shield, he actually botches line live on Raw, believe it or not, Vince McMahon isn't perfect. If the Shield interferes in the WWE Championship match, then CM Punk will be stripped of the WWE Championship. So, TLD, man, this really throws a little bit of a wrench into the spokes of this storyline. A lot of people expect the Shield to get involved at the Royal Rumble. Now they can't. What do you think is going to happen between CM Punk and The Rock?
Well, I'm still breaking up. Am I still breaking up here?
It does sound like you're breaking up a little bit, yeah.
But you are too. So why don't we do a commercial, and I'll come back, and I'll give you an answer on that.
All right, we'll bring you back in a minute. All right, we'll bring you right back, TLD. All right, TLD is going to reconnect to the show. We're waiting on Mike Bennett. You know, I talked to him a little bit ago. He said he'd be on right around 9. Hoping he pulls in around 9:30. We got a lot to talk about with the prodigy of Ring of Honor, the prodigy of wrestling, for that matter. Guy's got a bright future. I mean, you take one look at Mike Bennett, and you see dollar signs. That's it. I mean, I bumped into the guy at Final Battle 2011. Yeah, 2011, man. I'm getting my years confused. I was backstage, did a little security gig for ROH that night in the Kevin Steen, Steve Corino match. And, you know, after Mike Bennett's match, he had a triple threat match with Jay Lethal, El Generico for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. And I went up to Mike Bennett. I said, hey, man, great job out there. You know, I said that for a reason because out of those three guys, I know Jay Lethal is a fantastic competitor. El Generico, you know, just signed by WWE, awesome. Everybody loves El Generico. But when looking at those three guys compete, and I watched this match right behind Jim Cornette. I literally was standing there. Jim Cornette's watching the match, and I'm standing there, and I'm watching as well. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is absolutely awesome. Mike Bennett is tearing it up. But, ladies and gentlemen, I just got word from TLD that Blog Talk Radio is having some issues. That's why he was kind of breaking up a little bit. And he said he can't call back in. I'm hoping Mike Bennett doesn't have the same issue. If he is, you know, I'm sorry about that. We're going to try our best. We're going to do everything we can to get him on the air tonight as advertised. But right now, I got my buddy, the host of Oh You Didn't Know Radio, every Wednesday night at 9 right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. Seth is with us right now. What's up, Seth?
How you doing? It sounded like you might have needed another caller right now. So.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me, Seth. I'm not sure if you're going to have an issue tomorrow night or not because, you know, this show is not going as planned, of course. You know, Murphy's Law, if something's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. But, we're trying to keep it entertaining. We got a two-hour block live tonight. We're going to do our best to get Mike Bennett on the air live. I know I promoted the hell out of this, but heads up, man. Tomorrow night when you have Ivelisse from Tough Enough, from Ana Sofia Cortez, NXT, she's going to be on with you tomorrow night. Blog Talk Radio is having issues, man. They said it when I signed into the studio that there are some problems with Blog Talk Radio. I couldn't even sign in through Skype tonight. So just give me a heads up, man.
Interesting. Maybe I'll contact her and the people there and see if they're able to do Skype.
Yeah, let her know for sure because I'm not sure what the issue is. You know, I talked to Mike Bennett. I sent him an email. I always send like a customary email before the interview goes on the air. And he was like, yeah, I'll call in around 9. And I just have this suspicion, this feeling that he isn't able to call in, that he's having an issue. But let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope we get Mike Bennett on the air. If somehow we don't, I promise you, we will have him on PWP Radio at some point in time in the future. But while I got you, Seth, we were talking a little bit about Taz, Naces, and Ace. We moved on to Monday Night Raw. And I want your take on this new stipulation that Mr. McMahon put on the CM Punk match with The Rock at Royal Rumble, where if the Shield gets involved, Punk will be stripped of the WWE Championship. What do you think is going to happen now that that's the situation?
Well, I mean, the automatic thought to myself was someone else is going to interfere. And I'll bring up the name Brock Lesnar because he is a popular choice to bring up in these situations. But I don't think it's going to be Brock. I mean, it's definitely possible. Brock would probably be up there in terms of possibilities. I think Brad Maddox is another possibility. We've seen conversations between him and Paul Heyman. Some have been positive, some have been negative, but this past week on Raw, they had a very positive conversation. So that could lead to Brad Maddox helping out. But I'd be very surprised if this match ends cleanly.
Yeah, me too, man. If you say Brad Maddox, and that brings up a great point. I think they kind of, you know, foreshadowed that a little bit last night with him finally being accepted by Paul Heyman on the air. But you got to think about it this way. If Brad Maddox gets involved, I don't think he's going to be able to do anything to The Rock. I think The Rock's going to whoop his ass in a heartbeat. I mean, they're not going to have
Brad Maddox
be one to
a referee.
Yeah, but is he still a referee, though?
I mean, he was at that Raw that I went to in New Jersey where he just refereed the one match between, like, Vicky and AJ, I think it might have been. So, I mean, you know, they'll throw that idea in if they feel the need to do that, then I could see them doing that.
Yeah, it's a possibility. If he comes down and you know, if there's a ref bump, they try to pull some kind of dusty finish, as they say, and he could be the referee that comes out, you know, the second referee that runs down Ultimate Warrior style, like Charles Robinson did in years past, gets in the ring and tries to quick count The Rock. But I am leaning towards Brock Lesnar getting involved. I really am. Because if you're going to screw The Rock, if The Rock is going to lose this match, it is going to take something drastic and dramatic for that to happen. I don't think they'll do a quick count. I don't think they'll have some kind of, you know, Montreal screwjob nonsense. I think that it's going to be something devastating to really take him down. He's going to, I guarantee you, he kicks out of at least one GTS. I guarantee you he gets locked in any kind of vice, doesn't tap. It's going to take everything to defeat The Rock. And if CM Punk does retain, I got to go with Brock Lesnar. I think Brock Lesnar will make his return. And especially since, you know, it was leaked to these news, the big fat Z on the end, websites that Brock Lesnar won't be coming back till February, I think it's even more likely that he'll be back in the Royal Rumble, but that's just me.
I was going to say, there. I have conflicting thoughts because on one hand, you know, this is the first start on the road to WrestleMania, so it would kind of make sense for The Rock for Brock Lesnar to get involved and start setting something up for WrestleMania. But then again, your news websites with your capital Z are telling me that, you know, Brock is not supposed to be on TV until February. So, you know, I have conflicting thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't believe those news sites worth a damn. I just really don't. That's
well,
just my personal
after
opinion.
The Raw 20th anniversary, how can we?
Exactly, yeah. And you know, there's countless other times in the past that they've been wrong. Countless other times. Like, I can't even begin to explain to you how many times they've been wrong, and it just gets wiped under the radar. Like, nobody even pays attention to it. These guys are not held accountable. They just continue to draw thousands upon thousands of visitors to their sites per day. They get click-throughs all day long. They make a lot of money. Good for them. I mean, teach their own. I'm not trying to hate on them on a personal level. If it's business, it's business. They're making some money. Good for them. But I just think it sucks for the wrestling fans that go there and they get ripped off. You know, they're getting this BS garbage news from these so-called sources backstage. Who are the sources? That's what I want to know. Who the hell are the sources?
Who do these people know that they're getting this information from? It seems like the news just goes from one of these websites to the other. So either someone's making it up or one person hears it and then the others just repost it.
Yeah, it's like I've always heard that Paul Heyman was a notorious backstage, you know, rat type guy. He would always report to Meltzer, like, immediately anything that he knew that was going on. So maybe he is the one that's leaking all this information. There's also been news in the past, but again, once again, I said news. These stories even come from the news site, so you just don't even know what to believe. But there's also been reports that WWE has actually fired employees for leaking information to the dirt sheets. So, I mean, if there are still people in that business doing this, if there are still WWE employees doing this, how stupid can you be? You're going to risk your job over leaking information to idiots like Dave Meltzer? Like, come on, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I think it's pointless. I think it's stupid.
Well, they have to be getting something out of it then.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, Meltzer's giving them some money, or whoever it is. They're definitely getting their pockets. You know, if it's a pro wrestler, like I learned this from, who did I talk? I think it was Pat Buck I talked to from Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I was having a little conversation with him on Facebook one night, and I was trying to get a little coverage from Pro Wrestling Syndicate for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And I asked him if I could have, you know, maybe some interview time, just with like a pen and a pad or with my recorder on my iPhone, with a couple of the wrestlers, you know, a couple of the guys that were booked on the show. And he said that most of the wrestlers won't do stuff like that when they're at a show, when they're booked. Most of them won't do it unless they're getting paid. And that's the way it is in professional wrestling. There are a lot of good guys. Don't get me wrong. I've had many experiences with professional wrestlers in the past who have been awesome and have allowed me to interview them. And, you know, they've given me plugs back when I used to work with Wrestling Roundtable and stuff like that. But to believe that, you know, Meltzer's not putting some money in these guys' pockets, whoever the sources are, is absolutely crazy. You know, there's no question about that.
Yeah, they have to be getting something out of it, or else why would they be doing it?
Exactly. But, you know, Monday Night Raw last night, there's mixed emotions about the end of the show. And they were hyping this Cena interview all night long. Hype, 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 hype. Nonstop hype. Then we get it, and what happens? Everybody hated it. Now, Seth, I want to ask you, man, did you enjoy the interview? And if you did, do you think the reason why people are hating it is because of the constant hype they hit us with all night long?
I didn't really think about the hyping up the entire night at all. I've never been a fan of Cena, so it should come as no surprise that I did not enjoy it. It was not surprising in any way either, because it was very typical John Cena, you know, chatting it up with the younger audience and really gearing towards them. And it just seems like, and I think Justin LaBar wrote about this today on Bleacher Report that, you know, WWE seems to gear their writing and everything towards the casual fan and not fans like us, who, you know, think more deeply into it. And you know, basically, WWE gears towards the younger audience. And that shouldn't come as any surprise since we're in the PG era. But to them, their top draw is John Cena. Why is he their top draw? Because of the kids. So I'm a teacher, and throughout the day, I do interact with some students who do really love WWE. And I just don't agree with them on anything, because they'll tell me how much they love John Cena and how amazing he is. And I don't understand it. And I tell them I really just don't like him, and they just argue with me over it. So I'm sure if I ask them about that promo, they're going to say that it was really great.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that to me, like, that's one of those articles that, okay, yeah, Justin LaBar, not a big fan of some of the stuff that he does, but you know, I got to give guy credit where credit's due. He pointed out something that, you know, not a lot of people think about. To me, to you,
yeah, this wasn't a typical Bleacher Report article.
Yeah, I mean, to guys like me and you, that fact is obvious. You know, Johnson is the cash cow. You know, they'll try to market towards that younger generation, and it's smart. It's business. It's what WWE is about. But to us as fans, like, man, I went on Facebook this morning, and, you know, after that interview, I knew what was going to happen, like I mentioned earlier, so I didn't really think much of it. I was thinking, like, okay, it's going to be another, you know, Royal Rumble type of scrum at the end of the show, and that's obviously what happened. But when people break this down, and they literally try to, you know, take Cena's words and just dissect them, you can't do it, because it's John Cena. He goes out there and says, whatever he's told to say. He's the ultimate, you know, corporate executive, whatever you want to call him, corporate wrestler. He does what he's told. He executes it to his best possible way. He's not that old school, like, Raw John Cena from 2004 that's going to go out there and bust out some rap songs or whatever. It's not going to happen. That's just not what he does. But the fact of the matter is this, man. Whether you hated it, whether you didn't, they hyped up the Royal Rumble. And it's not to hype it up for us, because we're going to buy it anyway. It's to hype it up for those kids that you mentioned. You know, man?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Seth, we got TLD back on. TLD, you with us?
Yeah, man. I tell you right now, I hate technology. I really do.
Go ahead, explain.
Except for TLDWrestling.com.
Well, yeah, you know what, man? I just shot Mike Bennett a couple tweets. I'm sending him an email, you know, that blog, Talk Radio is having some technical difficulties. I wasn't even able to sign in with Skype tonight. I usually host the show through Skype, and I couldn't sign in through Skype. It wasn't letting me do it. And,
I was able to go on our – basically, we have our little hosting thing. You can call a number and call them in, and that's how I got back on. So that might be the best way to do it.
I called you through Skype.
Yeah, you can definitely – you can call them right through the website, right through our studio, and you can call them that way. There's a little phone button there you can hit. That's how
I'll give him a buzz, try to get him on the air. But let's hope this works. But, TLD, we're talking about Monday Night Raw last night. We went over a little bit of the CM Punk and The Rock little stipulation that Mr. McMahon added to the match. Now, what does this change your opinion on what's going to take place at Royal Rumble?
You know, I don't, because I didn't think the Shield was going to be allowed to be involved anyway, or if they did, they would be taken out of the situation. But I thought the Brad Maddox part, I thought, might play a factor into it. I think a lot of people probably feel that way, that's going to happen. But, you know, I don't know. I can't really tell. I really can't tell. I just have no idea. Oh, someone's calling me.
I'm trying to call into Mike Bennett right now. I'm trying to call Mike Bennett if we can get him over here.
Well, I guess we'll wait for that call. Let's hope for that call, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see what happens, folks. Can't guarantee anything.
Well, make sure you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com while we're waiting for this phone call. And then go to blogtalkradio.com/PWP radio. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. That's very important. Did I mention TLDWrestling.com?
Yeah, we can get all the plugs in. The call wasn't answered. Mike Bennett.
This is going perfectly.
Yeah, this is not, folks, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network for the first time here tonight, I apologize. This is not how the show usually goes. We've been doing this show since August pretty much every single week. We've got three weekly live shows, and we've pretty much been flawless. So, you know, this is an unfortunate circumstance that doesn't usually take place. So maybe we'll get Mike Bennett on the line. Maybe we won't. If he doesn't end up calling in, I sincerely apologize, but let's try to keep it positive. That's the theme of the show tonight.
Keep it positive.
Positivity. So we're going to go back to that question. I just popped you, TLD. Think about it. You know, the Shield can't get involved. Brad Maddox, you know, he could be a referee like Seth said before, but can he do enough damage, or can't he even come in and screw The Rock? Will it even matter to the fans if he's the guy that screws The Rock? What do you think? Do you think Brock Lesnar is going to have any kind of involvement in this match?
No, I don't think Brock needs to be involved, you know, unless they're actually going to be pushing that. It almost looks like they're going to put the Rumble last on the show rather than Punk and The Rock. There's a possibility of that happening. If that happens, that opens up so many other possibilities if that's the case. I think card positioning is going to make a big deal on this show. So if we see CM Punk and The Rock go before the Rumble, definitely things could be changed. If it's, you know, which I think opens up more people thinking about who's going to win the Rumble and who's a surprise entrant. Or if it is last, you know, it's possible. Hopefully they try to make this a clean match, because I think he needs a clean win. If he beats The Rock cleanly, or had some type of interaction with Paul Heyman kind of screwing him, you know, I think that gives CM Punk more credibility. I think that's what CM Punk needs, is the credibility.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on PWP TV, which you can go check out. Me and TLD banter about the Royal Rumble, past, present, the history of it, our favorite championship matches at the show, our favorite Royal Rumble moments, memories, whatever. You can go over to YouTube at TW Powerhouse TV, check it out, listen to what we have to say, and watch us. It was a great show. It was very well done, and we've got more coming. But, CM Punk does need that credibility. He needs that one huge win, and if he gets it over The Rock, it could help cement this title reign. More importantly,
yeah,
I think he needs that 500-day mark. I think he really needs to get to WrestleMania as WWE champion.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's pretty close to tell. This is one of those where you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, you have a feeling The Rock's going to do it, but then you're like, in the back of your head, you're like, yeah, maybe they'll let Punk keep it. You know, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
I think for a championship reign of this magnitude, it should be Lost in Mania, just because of the length of the reign.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no question about it. If you're going to put this much time and effort into a title reign, you need to have a gigantic blow-off, and I think that can only take place at WrestleMania. You haven't had a title reign like this in 20 years or so I think that's really the only way to do it. But, I got Seth's take on the John Cena promo last night, and, he brought up a great point that they're kind of catering to the kids a little bit and stuff. What did you think of Cena's promo at the end of Raw last night?
Well, he does his, the Cena that I'm not a fan of is the one that is a little silly. You know, I thought, like, in the beginning was cute, but then it went a little too long as far as how long the promo was. But, again, he's not catering to me. I'm sure the kids thought that was funny and hilarious, and it was at times. There were some funny parts in it. You know, but, like, when they showed the dude in the crowd that was just, like, not interested at all in what Cena was saying, kind of puts him down in a way, even though, you know, he's talking about things, you know, the guy's a little heavy, too, that he make, you know, he's like, he's talking about him drinking a lot. It was kind of pushing the boundaries, I think, a little bit on what he was saying about the woman and the man that he pointed out. The kid was one thing, but pointing out the woman thing, you know, I don't know. I think it kind of pushed the boundary because people can get offended by that.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. No question about that. John Cena,
I thought the ending of it was great because he sold the Royal Rumble, which was, and they put that last, which was very important, and they did put that last, and they put the annual Rumble at the end of the show as well.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of it. That was the point. You know, you wanted to try to get the Royal Rumble over, and to me, it did the job. Like, what else are you going to do? They always do this kind of thing to get the Royal Rumble over, and, they gave it a shot. A lot of people took the crap on it today, but that's to be expected from this, you know, IWC fan base that we were talking about. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick little break here. I got to go vent, blow off some steam. I'm going to throw on, a theme song here from, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Hopefully one of yours as well. I think he's another guy that's got a raw deal on the IWC. We all know he's one of the best self-promoters in the history of wrestling. But he'll always be my hero, and he is a real American. gentlemen, we are back. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. We're here tonight live on the air. I promised everybody an interview with the prodigy Mike Bennett for weeks. I've been promoting this for weeks, and I talked to him tonight. I have the email, you know, if anyone doesn't believe me, I can send you the email. He said he'd be calling in around 9 o'clock. Everything was good to go, but it turns out Blog Talk Radio is having some technical difficulties. I noticed this as soon as I signed in to the show tonight. I signed in and said, sorry, Blog Talk Radio, blah, 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 whatever. So I don't know if we're going to get Mike Bennett on the air tonight, unfortunately. However, we got a lot to talk about. The wrestling industry is full of big stories all the time. We got the Royal Rumble coming up. You know, we got a Royal Rumble post-game show coming up this Sunday night here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at 11 o'clock immediately after the show goes off the air. But, you know, if I can get in touch with the prodigy, Mike Bennett, you know, if it doesn't work out tonight, we will definitely reschedule this interview. And I hate to do this because, you know, Will, I'm kind of passionate about this. I put a lot of time and effort into ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I've been working my tail off to get the website going strong and to have, like, original articles and not just links to other blogs and whatever and not be some BS site like Bleacher Report. I'm trying to do this thing the right way, and it turns out tonight's been unfortunate. But, you know, what are you going to do, CLB?
You know, I feel bad because it's, like, it's terrible. I even just told, you know, I just told my mother, I was like, I feel bad for you. This is a big night for us, and it really did screw us over. But you know what? We're going to think positive. That's what we're going to do.
It's all about positivity, and we got, you know, the chat room's open right now. I got, you know, a friend of the show, The Wrestling Realm. I'm not sure if it's Brian or Cam or the real Dwayne Allen, but they're in the chat room right now trying to talk. Ask us what's going on. Well, what's going on, Wrestling Realm, is that we're having some issues, and it doesn't look like we're going to get the prodigy Mike Bennett like we've been promising. But let's hope that maybe there's somehow, some way, he calls us up and we can salvage some kind of an interview tonight. If not, I'll do my best to reschedule, you know. But coming up tomorrow night, I just want to plug this real quick while we're at it. Coming up tomorrow night right here, on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network, we've got the one and only Sophia Cortez from NXT. You might know her as Ivelisse from Tough Enough. She will be live on the air promoting. Let's hope Blog Talk Radio doesn't have the same issue tomorrow. But as of right now, she will be live on the air promoting a show that's coming up in Brooklyn. And she'll be a great interview. Please tune in. Check it out tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, TLD, I wasn't really expecting this. You know, I have this whole sheet of stuff that we wanted to talk about tonight and everything. I have tons of questions for Mike Bennett. I wasn't expecting this to happen. What do you want to talk about, man?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing that I think we can bring up, you know, with the Royal, one thing I thought was a little strange at the ending about the Royal Rumble was you notice that they didn't, They had all these guys come out. By the way, they used a lot of microphones last night. You could tell.
Yeah.
You know, that was a lot of microphones, I have to say. That was pretty funny how many mics. You could even hear them having some audio problems, which, I mean, that audio guy had a lot of work cut out of him last night. But one thing I was looking forward to at the end with all the guys coming out and everyone ran to the ring, I was waiting for Ryback's music to hit, and he would dump everybody. But he was just one of those regular people that ran out. And that told me right there that he's probably not winning the Royal Rumble because they would have made a bigger deal out of that.
I agree, man. Yeah, I was kind of like the reason I thought, because I initially had the same thought as you, honest to God. I was sitting there watching my buddy Nick, and I was like, wow, Ryback's just in there fighting. They didn't do anything to introduce him. And that's because he had that short promo earlier on in the night. I think that's the reason why we didn't get any kind of intro for Ryback. They didn't make a big deal out of him being involved in the scrum at the end because he was able to cut a little promo. He was able to kind of tell the world that he's going to win the Royal Rumble and stuff like that. And that's kind of the point of what all those guys coming out, you know, that's what they were doing.
I don't know. He didn't need it. He just needed his music to hit. and he would have came out and just destroyed everybody. You know, that was the only downfall, I would say, of that ending was that. And that was just one thing. I thought that kind of took me off a little bit. Not only that, but I still think he's going to do well. I just don't think he's going to win now. That just kind of, they put that image in my head that he may not be the winner. But another thing was interesting. What do you think about last night, Dolph Ziggler winning the Beat the Clock Challenge to pick any number he wants? What do you think how that went?
That was an unnecessary swerve for the hell of having a swerve. That was like one of those old Vince Russo angles. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of came out of nowhere. I think it was, like, kind of cool in a way, because if Dolph Ziggler's number 30 in the Royal Rumble, then we don't get to see what he's capable of doing. We don't get to see, you know, how he can work with everybody in the ring and sell the hell out of everybody's offense and be that marathon guy within the match, where that's where a lot of guys have really made their names. I mean, Shawn Michaels was practically, I'm not going to say he was a nobody, but he was the WWE Championship contender when he won the Royal Rumble in 1995. He just wasn't. Like, nobody really took him seriously. But he went from 1 to 30, won the match, had an amazing performance, and from then on, people took Shawn Michaels seriously. Maybe that's going to happen with Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, I think that was very, that was definitely not necessary for that to happen. I thought that it should have been him picking any number he wants. You know, I think that he has the Money in the Bank briefcase. You know, imagine him now winning the Rumble also on top of it. You know, I think there was a lot of, I think he should be able to pick his own number. I think, because now it makes Vicky look like a good guy, and she's not. I really don't understand their concept of Vicky Guerrero being a heel 80% of the time, and then that one time she's actually a face in a way. It just, it really makes, doesn't really make too much sense. Yeah, you know, I understand Dolph Ziggler was her, like, her thing, but, you know, I don't know. There's something to it that just wasn't seeming right.
Yeah, it was that public show of affection he did with AJ while he was standing there in the office. You know, she's obviously jealous of Dolph Ziggler and his thrill, so to speak. But, yeah, as far as her character is concerned, you're right. They spend, you know, the majority of the night building her up at the heel. She's trying to screw over The Rock. And then they pull this, like, babyface move. I guess it's just a general manager move when she's mad at a wrestler to kind of just take it out on them. But, yeah, I mean, Dolph Ziggler really, really got screwed last night. And it makes you wonder, like, you know, I know obviously what the deal is. I know it's a storyline. But, you know, Sheamus won the match. You know, is Vicky going to pull the same thing on Sheamus? You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things within the storyline that doesn't really make any sense if you want to break it down. But I'm just happy Dolph Ziggler is going to actually be in the match for a long time. I mean, I don't think he's going to get thrown out early whatsoever. I think he'll be there. I think he'll make it from, like, first to 30. I really do.
Yeah, I think he'll be there towards the end. I think he might be the longest entrant. I would say whoever picks number one and number two in the pool this year, I think has a good chance of winning some money, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so, absolutely. While we're talking about the Royal Rumble, though, and once again, if you just joined the show, I want to just let everybody know, I apologize. Mike Bennett doesn't seem to be calling in tonight to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I talked to him an hour and a half ago, and he said he was good to call in at 9 o'clock. I actually called him as well. Didn't seem to work out that way. Blog Talk Radio was having issues, and I sent him an email. We'll see if he gets back to me. If he gets back to me, I will read the email live on the air and let you guys know what the deal is. But as of right now, Mike Bennett's not on the air. So I figured what we're going to do is turn this into a Royal Rumble show, and we'll talk about some of the favorite moments, memories from Royal Rumble's past. And if you follow me on Twitter or if you're involved with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse on Facebook, you may know that I've been watching a variety of Royal Rumbles from years past for the past couple of days. I mean, I watched 1993, 1994, 96, 97, and last night I watched 2005, which I only happened to see one time in my life, and I was live when it aired, and I never really caught another copy of it. But, you know, we kind of talked about it on PWP TV, our favorite moments and memories, but we did not cover them all. So, TLD, you know, give me a big moment, memory, or match from Royal Rumble's past.
Ah, yeah, one that we did not talk about was Maven eliminating The Undertaker in 2002.
Oh, you love that one.
One of the most forgotten moments, I think, in the entire company that they tend to forget about or don't want to talk about because Maven's not in the company anymore. But, man, that was one of my favorite moments ever. I just watched that one the other day. I absolutely love that moment. That one to me was like, you're talking about shocking, especially how much they build The Undertaker up to win that. You know, they were putting a lot of emphasis on him being one of the final guys.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, The Undertaker, then, if you did not see this show, you did not see Maven eliminate The Undertaker, which was awesome because Maven was a nobody, tough enough winner. But The Undertaker then beat the living hell out of Maven throughout the entire arena. Am I correct on this? Is that what happened?
Pretty much, yeah. And he took a chair shot unprotected, might I add.
Well, back then, they were all doing it.
Well,
only the smart guys.
He could recognize, man. Maven did it for a good reason.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
man, some moment, I have to say. That's probably my top Royal Rumble moment of all time. It really might be, because it was so shocking, and I never thought they would ever do that.
I remember being shocked when that happened. Last night I watched Royal Rumble 2005. Like I said, I hadn't watched that show in 8 years. Like, I watched that live at my buddy's house, and I never watched it again, but I've had the DVD for a long time. Popped it in, and you don't really understand the amount of star power that was in that Royal Rumble. I mean, it was unbelievable. At one point, I mean, Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero were 1 and 2 respectively, which was, I think Eddie was number 1, Benoit was number 2, which was absolutely awesome that they started out. Then you had, at one point in the ring, you had, like, Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, Jericho, Booker T, Rey Mysterio. There was just a who's who cast of awesome, awesome wrestlers. And that was a really star-centered Rumble, and I enjoyed that one because that's what made John Cena and Batista stars. That's what really moved them to the next level. They did the old 1994, you know, Bret Hart, Lex Luger finish where they both went over the top rope, and it wasn't as pretty as the one in 1994, might I add. These guys flopped on the floor. They both hit at the exact same time. It was done real well, but it looked like it hurt like a bitch because they were both hurt. They were down. And then there's controversy in the ring. They actually throw each other over the top rope again. Who comes running down the aisle? Vince McMahon. Takes his coat, throws it in a fit of rage, sprints down the aisle, tries to dive to the ring, and he smacks his knees on the apron and blows out both of his knees. I mean, would that happen to anybody but Vince McMahon? You can't say that's not, you know, that's
not
a
even
memorable
during a match.
Moment.
Not even during a match. It's just running to the ring, pissed off, and he's being an owner. And, man, God bless him. He took a very bad, you know, shot to his knees. You know, two quads at the same time. Oof. That's a moment, too. I mean, that's another very big moment, I thought, that Vince McMahon, you know, was pretty much out of action for months. Wasn't even running WWE. Couldn't even be involved on it because of so much pain and agony I'm sure he was in.
Yeah, an amazing thing about that, though, is that he claimed that it didn't hurt at all. He recovered.
Out of the DVD, he said that hurt like hell.
Yeah, but he,
not what
he told, said. Yeah, well, on the DVD he didn't, but I've heard from other wrestlers and stuff that he's claimed, you know, when he went backstage, that, oh, it didn't hurt. I've heard wrestlers say that before. That was his initial reaction. Oh, it didn't hurt. But also, I believe Triple H said that Vince McMahon recovered, like, incredibly fast from it. You know,
yeah, Triple H did mention that he recovered faster than him, and he had one quad messed up. You know, Vince McMahon had two. So
exactly, yeah. It was quite the moment, I'd say, in Royal Rumble history. A moment that I don't think will ever see happen again, hopefully not, anyway. Give us another favorite match, moment, or memory from Royal Rumble history.
Well, I would say another one of my favorite one. I even thought The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at Royal Rumble. I forget what year that was, but they were the last two in the Rumble. That one, I thought that was great as well. I think that was 23, right? That was for WrestleMania 23 that year.
Yeah, that was Royal Rumble 2007. That was awesome. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment because that was the first time we've seen those two in the ring together in a really long time.
Yeah, almost 10 years. Almost 10 years, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought that was a very credible moment as well.
If you want to get particular about it, they technically were in the ring together at Judgment Day 2000 during the Rock Triple H Ironman match, but they hadn't wrestled each other since Royal Rumble 1998, and that was the night Shawn Michaels injured his back pretty much permanently in the casket match. And that was another moment in the match, a career-altering night for Shawn Michaels. He did this amazing feat of agility and got thrown over the top rope, cracked his lower back onto the gigantic casket that was sitting at ringside, and turns out he lost 4 years of his career. Definitely something that is memorable, tragic in its own right, but he came back in 2002 as a better Shawn Michaels, and for that, you know, you got to give him all the credit in the world. And he might be one of the most accomplished professional wrestlers in Royal Rumble history, I'd say easily, because he's thrown out, I guess, the most guys all time. He's won the thing twice. He's been in the final couple of things. But also, you know, another cool moment, I was watching 2005 last night, like I said, that started the build to the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle match at WrestleMania 21, which was a classic, best match on that card by far. So that was another cool moment for 2005. But
yes, I'll give you another one that I really liked.
Let's
another one that I thought was really good was Stone Cold Steve Austin getting thrown out and coming back into the ring. That one was... Talk about 97. Talk about a feud like Bret Hart and Stone Cold. You know, those two guys were... They were on war with each other. And the fact that Stone Cold kept looking at his taped wristwatch, and there comes Stone Cold, and here comes Bret Hart, the place blew off the roof. They loved that moment. That one I thought was another incredible moment because Stone Cold, that really broke him out, you know, as much as people loved him, he was so much a heel in so many ways, especially that one. But people, when he came back in, people were cheering him, you know, people loved it, you know, they were loving that. And again, that was another new thing where, you know, no one hit the floor, came back in and eliminated three men. And that was a pretty big deal for him.
Yeah, it was. CLD, hold up 1 second. Looks like we got John, our buddy JCD, on the line. John, I'm going to click in right now. How's it going tonight, my man?
What's up, man?
Dude, let me tell you, this is the most disappointing night I've had in a long time.
Why?
In the history of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Live Talk Radio is having some kind of technical difficulties. You know, we've had this Mike Bennett interview set up for weeks, had this live interview with him, and I talked to him earlier tonight. I sent him an email. He said he was good to go, told me the number he was calling in from, all this good stuff, and I signed in tonight, and it turns out, you know, it says literally, like, Blog Talk Radio is experiencing technical difficulties. If there's trouble calling in, we apologize for the inconvenience, yada, yada, yada. So I'm assuming, okay, we might have a little bit of technical problems, but it's still going to go perfectly smooth, but turns out that we can't get Mike Bennett on the line, sadly. So,
because it's a different number. The 760 number is not working.
Yeah, what's the caller number's not working?
Yeah, the 760-888 number is not working. And even on the website, it's got a 347 number.
So
no Bennett.
That sucks, and I'm trying to get in contact with him. We tried calling him because he gave me the number. I tried calling him. He didn't pick it up. I don't even know if that's working, though, because I gave it a shot through my Blog Talk Radio studio right here.
Well, we're doing the FWE show in 3 weeks. He's on it, so if anything, you know, we might have a shot to reach out to him there.
Well, yeah, I'm going to – if we can't get him – you know, we got about 55 minutes left in the night. If we can't get him on tonight, I will definitely do everything in my power to get him on another night. So I just want to apologize to everybody who's out there listening, who expected an awesome interview tonight with Mike Bennett. I've got a list of fans, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, comments and stuff for Mike Bennett that, you know, were sent to me that I was going to read to him and have him respond to. So this kind of sucks. I'm pretty pissed off, a little disheartened. Shit happens. But
yeah, exactly.
The show goes on, and we're trying to be positive tonight. So we're talking about our favorite matches, moments, memories in Royal Rumble history. John, you got one for us?
Yeah, because I was there, I got two of them. In 2000, I'll be honest with you, except for the tag title match, that entire show was just awesome. I mean, even though Taz being the worst-kept secret around, when he came out, that place just exploded. When he came out the Garden to challenge Angle, MSG went nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that, yeah.
That was good, and I'll be honest with you, I was there for this too in 2008 when John Cena came back, because no one saw that coming. The Garden went ballistic.
Cena was supposed to be out for a really long time with that. I believe he tore his pectoral muscle.
Yeah, in October. He was supposed to be out past WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a huge injury. You know, a lot of guys don't recover from that for a long, long time.
That was a really good show from top to bottom. That show had Flair MVP in a career match with Flair, and that kicked off the show. So the show started hot with Flair. excuse me. You had JBL Jericho, which, even though the match itself wasn't great, you know, it was Jericho when he was still fresh back. JBL was back in the ring, so that was good. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, which had a great build-up to it.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, including the group I went with, really thought Hardy was going to win. Edge, Rey Mysterio was another great match, and Edge actually had that crowd behind him because being there, that place popped when Edge won. And then, you know, Triple H was supposed to be the guy in the Rumble. Excuse me. And then Cena comes out, and the Garden just went nuts.
Yeah,
and the fact that Michaels and Taker kicked off that Rumble at 1-2 coming off the year before was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great Rumble. Another moment in that Rumble that I loved was the Piper and Snuka moment. That was really, really cool.
Back-to-back. That got a great pop as well.
Yeah, and it's like time stood still. I watched that recently, too, and you could see, like, CM Punk, he's kind of, like, in the corner. And he's just smiling at what he's watching, you know.
Yeah.
Piper and Snuka just beating the hell out of each other. Just hold tight with me for 1 second, guys. I'm going to attempt to call Mike Bennett one more time. And we will see what happens. So bear with me 1 second. We are going to call him live right here on the air. And see if we can get the prodigy, Mike Bennett.
Maybe he signed.
No, he told me that he said that he was going to be on tonight. He definitely said he was going to be on tonight, and I'm giving it a shot. So give him a call, and if he doesn't pick it up, oh well. We'll just keep going on with Royal Rumble talk, because a lot of people are hyped up for this show. I know I am. Every year I get pumped for the Royal Rumble. It's one of the top two shows of the year by far. But once again, it doesn't look like we're able to get through to the prodigy. Man. I'm pretty bummed. Oh, well. All right. So that's our last attempt for the prodigy, Mike Bennett. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone who's listening. It doesn't seem like we can get him on the line. It looks like I have just been logged out myself of Block Talk Radio. I'm not sure why that's happening. But you guys can still hear me, right? We're still on the air?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, Taylor, you still there, man?
Absolutely, man. I'm ready to talk some more Royal Rumble moments. Let's keep going.
All right, TLD, you should give us one. Shoot.
All right, so I would say just because I was there, the 40-man Royal Rumble, I really enjoyed the I did it. I was there for the John Cena CM Punk thing. That was actually a pretty big deal. People were going nuts when John Cena came out. It had to be reminiscent of Steve Austin kind of feel. And, you know,
that was another great moment. And from that rumble, and of course, the rumble in history for 40 men, but I really did enjoy the Santino ending. That was pretty damn funny, I have to say.
Yeah, that rumble to me, that was the old 40-man rumble, and the end was cool, man. I really liked that. You kind of had a feeling that Santino Marella had a shot. Like, WWE's been known to pull some kind of stuff like that every once in a while, just completely throw a curveball at the audience. And I think it would have been pretty cool if Santino did win. They can always fix it. You know, they don't. He doesn't have to go on to WrestleMania.
No, you do. You have him put the shot on the line.
Exactly. You know, you don't have to do it that way. And that would have been a cool curveball. That would have been pretty fun. I'm on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Facebook group page right now, which is currently a locked page, but you can find it. If you want to join it, click to join. And my man Clayton is popping out all these awesome moments and memories, and I'm just going to roll them off real quick. Clayton says, we mentioned this on PWP TV, Benoit vs. Angle 2003, absolutely awesome match. John Cena Umaga, last man standing match, underrated, man. That match was really, really good. Really cool match, something that probably Umaga's best match, I'd say. I'd go out on a limb and say that. Diesel and Booker, the big return to 2011. That was cool, TLD. I was pretty pumped to see that happen as well. Nexus in the Core, starting off 2011 Royal Rumble. And here's his worst moments, and he's got Mysterio winning in 06 and Triple H for Steiner 2003. So while we're talking about great moments, let's talk about some of the worst moments, John. And that Triple H Steiner match, ooh. Scott Steiner, everybody wanted to see him get into a WWE ring for a long time as Big Papa Pump, and we wished it would have happened during the invasion angle, but sadly, it didn't. Instead, we got some poor matches with Triple H, and the one at the Royal Rumble was pretty bad. What are your memories of this match?
I'll be honest with you. I was a huge Steiner guy in 02. I was at the Garden for Survivor Series when he came back. I know I'm in the minority here. I think that match sucked because of Hunter. That was that 02-03 spurt with Hunter where he just didn't care about anybody, and he just made everybody. That's when he went through that WCW tear. Steiner, Booker, Goldberg, he just made them all look bad. I really think, I mean, you know what you're getting with Steiner, and you know what kind of style match you're going to get with him. It's never going to be a five-star classic. But Hunter has made guys worse than Steiner look good. And I thought it then, and I still think it to this day. I think Hunter just made him look like garbage.
Oh, yeah. You might have a point. I mean, I haven't watched that match in so many years. Maybe I'll go back and watch it tonight. But you could have a point. I mean, Scott Steiner, they also had kind of a stinker the next month and No Way Out, although I do remember it being better. Scott Steiner just didn't get off to the type of first impression.
Steiner
really
had the crowd behind him. Anybody who thinks Steiner wasn't over is wrong. Steiner had that crowd behind him from the first night at Survivor when he was making the appearance on Raw and SmackDown to tease what show he was going to sign with. And when he came out at the night after Armageddon 02 and basically challenged Hunter, he had a lot of momentum. What killed him and what killed a lot of guys that time of year is when they go into that spurt of the taped shows. That's what kills them. And Steiner had momentum. And then the rest of the shows, I think, they had like two or three taped shows where they were doing like pose-offs and who can do the most, jumping jacks. You want to get Steiner over. I understand Orton wasn't ready to wrestle. Batista wasn't ready to wrestle. They weren't in Evolution yet. But you know what? You could have had Steiner that first live Raw of 03, like, destroy Flair. So to really look like that big, hard challenger to Triple H, you know, I know he had Jericho laid down for him, you know, at one point. That's what you needed to do, and they didn't do that with him. He was hot, though, heading into those tape shows, and those tape shows killed his momentum.
Yeah, you could have had somebody put him in. You could have put, like, somebody in a Steiner recliner, you know what I mean, and just kind of have them just, like, tap out. You didn't have to make him a heel, but you could have had him kind of.
No, but just picture Hunter standing outside the ring, staring at Flair in that recliner, helpless, out cold, and Steiner just wrenching back on him, basically saying, this is going to be you at the Rumble.
it would have been cool. There was a lot better ways they could have done it. But is it true that I think Triple H was hurt leading up to that match? Am I wrong on that?
There was a lot going on with Hunter that year. He had the quad injury. Remember, that's when he was wearing, you know, that year he was wearing bike shorts. There was a lot going on with him. 2003 was a weird run with him. He got out of the Elimination Chamber with the crushed larynx. Then he came out of the Armageddon feud with Michaels. Yeah, it was weird with him what was going on.
Yeah, he was the most dominant at that point, too, which is definitely strange that he put on so many stinkers. But
if you look at who his stinkers were with, it's the WCW guys. Because look at his matches with Michaels. Even, I can't believe I'm going to say this, even Nash. If you look at Steiner, Booker, Goldberg, and Nash, which was basically Triple H's run, the beginning of 03 into the end of the summer of 03. Actually, all of 03, because he kept working Goldberg straight through. The best series of matches he had was Nash. And that's bad.
Yeah. In the chat room right now, Brian Waters, my man from the wrestling realm, just mentioned that I wrote an article a while back about the Triple H Booker match at WrestleMania 19. I just ran down Triple H completely on his performance in that match. He just did not come ready to fight, ready to wrestle. I mean, what the hell?
What?
Hold on, I don't know what that ring is. Will,
DLC.
You know,
yeah, right, man.
Okay. All right, DLC.
Everything
back.
That could possibly be going wrong is going wrong tonight.
Yeah, it's not the best show. But we're going well with it. We're keeping it rolling in the right direction.
This is the best show ever, actually, I think. I think this is the best show we ever did.
Yeah.
Thinking positive.
Yeah, I did, to keep it on Triple H, I did kind of run him down hard for his match with Booker T. I thought Booker T was the guy that should have won over WrestleMania 19. But
even if he didn't go over, that match should have been a million times more better. The match on Raw they had like 2 weeks later, if you watch that match compared to the WrestleMania match, the match on Raw should have been the WrestleMania match because Hunter actually seemed like he cared. Like he felt like that match at WrestleMania, he didn't care. And maybe it was the positioning because he was so far down from the top, whatever it was, but he did Booker a big injustice at that WrestleMania.
Yeah, I believe you're right on that, man. I put it all on Triple H. He's always positioned himself in like his history, basically.
But it was all those WCW guys. Steiner, Booker, Nash, and Goldberg. And the only reason why he actually made Nash look good because Nash was his buddy. But the rest of them, those matches were horrible, and he made them all look like, and I'm telling you, they're all his fault.
Yeah, we can go on about Triple H all night, but let's keep it on the Rumble. You got a great point, though, John. I definitely agree with you there. TLD, do you have another great Royal Rumble moment match memory in the history of the show?
One thing I wanted to bring up, actually, if you want to go a little off topic, is who do you, I don't know if you want to go off topic for this year's Rumble, but who do you think will be the final four in this year's Rumble?
Oh, I can tell you my final four right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you right now, and I'm pretty sure I'll be right. I'm saying John Cena, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Dolph Ziggler. Those are my four.
Mine
too. Not Ryback, huh?
I have Ryback winning until last night, and I think Cena, you know, Cena's in there cutting a promo, and then Sheamus comes out, and then Orton comes out. I don't remember what order it was in, but like you said earlier, TLB,
of all the guys who didn't come out, he was the one that didn't, and that stuck out with me too.
Yeah, that'll be it really leads me to believe that he's going to get, you know, raped by the Shield again or something along those lines and thrown out way, shape, or form. But if you just tuned into the show, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get Mike Bennett on the line tonight, sadly. I've been trying to get in contact with the Prodigy. We're having technical difficulties here on blogtalkradio.com. It's not our fault. It seems to be a technical problem with Blog Talk Radio itself. When I signed in tonight, there was all kinds of pop-ups that having difficulties, yada, yada, yada. TLB's been having problems signing in all night long. John had an issue calling in as well. We're having issues tonight, folks. So sorry about it if you tuned in to hear this awesome interview we had planned out with Mike Bennett. I have this sheet full of questions that we're going to rattle off from tonight and just have a great conversation, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight, but we're going to do our best to reschedule it and make things right for all the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network fans out there. And we appreciate you joining us anyway while we talk about our favorite matches, moments, and memories from Royal Rumble's past and, you know, predictions for this year's show. Another guy who I think is going to have a good run in this year's Royal Rumble, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this, I have a feeling that Daniel Bryan could have also another, like, to kind of be like Ziggler. Like, I said Ziggler is going to go from 1 to 30 most likely. I think Daniel Bryan is going to spend a fair amount of time in that Rumble showing what he can really do. Steel Dude, what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan, his performance in this year's Royal Rumble, what he's going to do?
I think he's going to last 18 seconds. That's what I think.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
Why not? It goes with the theme. I think it's a great idea.
If he was a heel, that would actually be great. But I think with him as a face, I don't know if you could do that.
Well, I don't think he's gonna be in there as long as he has. I mean, remember we did have CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan in the 40-man Rumble that year, so that was pretty cool to see. A lot of internet wrestling fans are like so happy with that one, I'm sure. But I think he'll do pretty good. But I don't think he's gonna last that long.
What do you think about
maybe
Daniel
18
Bryan?
Minutes. About 18 minutes. How's that?
Furthermore, John, do you think there's you know, Daniel Bryan, no matter how long he lasts, I think he's going to have probably one of the top babyface runs in the Rumble. But do you think there's going to be any kind of, since they just graduated Anger Management, do you think they'll start moving the team of Daniel Bryan and Kane in a different direction now?
Yeah, I could totally see Bryan eliminating Kane.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Or vice versa, yeah. I could definitely
you know?
See that. I could definitely,
oh, I definitely
see that
helmet, too. I think the breakup, I mean, it was pretty obvious, but Dr. Shelby got some good chance last night. He might be one of the surprise participants. He should just be their manager.
I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped the belts.
Yeah, me either, because Cody and Damian Sandow, they didn't even really make their presence felt last night on the show. They weren't even really around. So, I mean, they're two heels that WWE is definitely high on. And as they're getting over, you know, as singles competitors, now it's a tag team. It's probably the right time to pull the trigger, if any time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I could
see them, both of them also lasting pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another moment I wanted to talk about from Royal Rumble past, and that was from Royal Rumble 2001 when Kane set the record for most eliminations in a single Royal Rumble match. PLD, I know we talked about this briefly on PWP TV. If you want to go check it out on YouTube, feel free. Do you think there's any way that anyone will touch that record this year?
Well, based on last night, I don't think so. I think they're going to let Kane keep that record. They don't normally break those records until the guys are, like, long gone. So I think he's going to keep that record this year. Based on what I'm feeling now after 1 week. You see how 1 week really changes people's minds on who's going to win the Rumble, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big deal. You know, I think people change their minds. You know, 1 week could be like, I want Ryback to win, but then you're like, the next week you're like, I don't think so, you know? So I think Kane's going to keep that record. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ryback comes close.
Yeah, not just Ryback, his possibilities of winning the Royal Rumble, but I thought he was going to have the greatest Royal Rumble match in history. I thought he was going to eliminate tons of guys. I was thinking, like, the Shield was going to be three guys. Then, you know, the Primetime players could be two. Whatever. I think there was a possibility that he could have broken that record some way, somehow, because WWE is behind it. They got the machine behind Ryback. He's over. You know, the crowd goes nuts when he comes out, when he hits his moves and everything. But because of the way he was treated last night, like you said, just a little tiny circumstance like that has kind of swayed me in the other direction. And, of course, they didn't really do that obligatory video package where they hype up all the records.
It's on the website.
It's really? On
WWE's website. They put it on their website today.
That's something they need to put on Raw every year, I think. So.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I missed that last night, but they put it on the website today. I'll tell you exactly where I think Ryback's going Sunday now. And it's amazing, like Will said, how 1 week can change everything. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryback's number 30.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe because
I could see that.
Yeah, if you look at the past Royal Rumbles, and I've noticed this because I've been watching them a lot this week, and I'm going to continue. I'm going to watch another one tonight while I cry myself to sleep. But just kidding. I'm not going to cry. But
yes, you are. Yes, you are.
It's always a big, dominant guy.
Yeah,
Big Show, Batista, Undertaker.
And I used to love back when
the Warlord.
Yeah, the Warlord.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon would always be like, whoever was coming out, I can't remember. I watched, I think it was 1993 or 1994. 94 it was. And Adam Bomb was the guy that came out 30. And Vince McMahon had you convinced that Adam Bomb was going to win. He was going, oh, Adam Bomb is going to be your winner of the Royal Rumble. Adam Bomb could be the next WWE champion. And you're just thinking, and I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, even when I was 10 years old, I'm thinking, there's no way Adam Bomb's going to win this match. Like, it's not going to happen, you know, but it always seems to be a dominant guy. I personally like the year when Flair came out 30. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
For a guy like him, you know, give him the possibility to win his second Rumble. But, yeah, you're right. I could, yeah, Ryback, that's
yeah, but lately it's been a big dominant guy, and I could definitely see Ryback being number 30.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's keep going here. We got some time left.
Did you guys touch on the Goldberg Lesnar confrontation?
No, we didn't, man.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I can't even remember that. Tell us what that was all about.
Well, that was in 04. That was the that Royal Rumble. If you watch that Rumble, like 5 WrestleMania matches got set up in that Rumble alone. You got Foley taken out, I think, Test, and showed up and took out Orton, who was number one and who was running through. Kane got eliminated during the Taker promo, and then this, it's a shame where this feud could have went. It's a shame. What they did
it's
at Survivor Series 03, Goldberg and Lesnar had their first face-off, and they were both champions. And then Lesnar crushed Holly at the Rumble 04, and they were interviewing Goldberg again, and Lesnar got in his face again, and then talked smack about him not being a champion. And then Goldberg went and said something to him, and then Goldberg went out in the Rumble, and Goldberg was looking good. But he wasn't in long, and Lesnar came out and just F5'd the hell out of him. And then I think Angle eliminates Goldberg, and that's pretty much the start of Goldberg-Lesnar for WrestleMania 20.
Wasn't,
that classic.
Wasn't Goldberg number 30 also in that Rumble?
Yes.
Yeah, he was number 32. That's another big, dominant guy who comes out number 30 that you're convinced is going to win. Like, I would have been – if Goldberg won the Royal Rumble that year – In 2004, I know it was the Chris Benoit year and all that bullshit. But if Goldberg won, I would have been happy, man. I would have popped huge for
if
Goldberg
well,
won the Rumble.
Well, if he would have given any chance of re-signing, there was a chance he would have.
Yeah.
There was a chance Lesnar Goldberg was going to be for that belt for the WWE title. There was talk of that, and there was talk Goldberg was going to win the Rumble, and then it all went to hell at Armageddon.
So it all went to hell at Armageddon. That's when they had the Triple H.
That's
Kane,
when they
Goldberg
had the triple threat with
right.
Triple H, Kane, and Goldberg.
And what happened? What do you mean it all went to hell?
Okay. Triple H cuts a promo on Goldberg after he wins. Like, he's leaning down saying something to Goldberg. Basically, he basically says, "You'll never hold this again." Now, everyone thought that was storyline, but because of all the animosity with Triple H and Goldberg, when they got backstage, Triple H went up to Goldberg and basically said, "You will never get your hands on this belt again." And if you notice, that's when Goldberg stopped working every single week, because Goldberg was on a per-appearance deal, like not a per-appearance, but a limited number of dates deal. Goldberg wasn't counting the dates. Once Hunter said that to him, that's when Goldberg started saying, "All right, you know what? I got 6 dates left in my contract." And if you look at him in 04, his appearances were few and far between. He did like 2 Raws, and that was it.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that. I remember it being that, you know, that very thing, kind of like what we went through with Brock Lesnar this year, where he was on a per-appearance deal. His dates had run out. They used too many, too soon, whatever. But, hell, if that didn't happen, man, that's another case that we talked about before, John. Triple H kind of,
yeah,
you know, doing something to bury the WCW guys when it really wasn't necessary.
Yeah, he he basically opened his mouth backstage after that show, and that's when Goldberg went right up and said, all right, you know what? I've got like 6 or 7 dates left. That's all I'm giving you. Whereas if Hunter didn't open his mouth, Goldberg would have probably worked straight through to WrestleMania and who knows, may have even signed an extension. But Hunter went up to him straight out, you're never getting this belt again, and that was like it.
And he's never come, he hasn't come back since. You know,
yeah. He got suspended the night after Armageddon. Then he did the Rumble. Then he did, like, No Way. He did Raw the night after, or 2 weeks after the Rumble. Then he did No Way Out, and that was it. Goldberg was not on TV after No Way Out leading into WrestleMania, which was horrendous.
Yeah, man. Dude, you got a good memory on this stuff. I did not remember that at all.
Yeah, I'm very surprised you have a memory. You are the man. You are, like, you should be, like, given a label here as, like, the guy of guys.
That's your new gimmick.
You are the guy of guys.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I can't remember what I had for lunch today, but I can remember something like that.
There you
John
go. Perfect.
He's the Ron Burgundy of PWP Radio.
All right,
you know
what? You have to get me that music as my theme music now.
I could do that. I could definitely do that, man. I could do that without a doubt. I'm not sure if we're going to have any more listeners from here on out since we couldn't deliver Mike Bennett tonight. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure.
Hey, we'll still be on TV, though, on YouTube. That's for sure.
Yeah, you can check out Will and I, DS, on YouTube a little bit, and they'll banter back and forth. Will, how's that finger doing, by the way?
Oh, man, you know, it's amazing. I can bend it just slightly now, but Mr. Finger is just doing just fine. You know, I took the bandage off, so life is still good right now. You know, my finger's doing a lot better. Thank you so much, Jay, for asking. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome, buddy. You know, friends look out for friends. That's how we roll around here.
And just make sure you run your own pool this weekend for Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm sure John definitely heard about that, right, John? You watched
the
show. Oh, thanks, John. Thanks for being a loyal listener.
No. What's with the pool? Give me
this
again.
Well, go watch PWTV, and you'll figure it out.
All right.
Yeah, we're not running a pool ourselves because, you know, gambling is kind of illegal. But
not in New Jersey.
Well, no, not in Jersey, but like, I don't know if, you know, a 15-year-old catfish or something is actually gambling through another. You know, I don't want to take that risk. But you can go to PWP TV on YouTube, and Will has this cool idea to get the kind of add a little more flavor, a little more spice to Royal Rumble viewing party. It's a cool idea. It's a way to have some fun with your friends. So go to youtube.com/PWPowerhouseTV. Check out the latest episode of PWPTV.
That's not the pick a number from 1 to 30 and whoever comes out, that's your guy, is it?
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, then I did see it. See? I told you.
No, you didn't see it. You're guessing. There's a difference.
Yeah, like I would have pulled that out of midair.
But, yeah, it's a pretty solid idea. It's not bad.
It's actually not a bad idea. Especially if you got a lot of
people at your Royal Rumble party. I mean, last year I had like 8 people at my house or something along those lines. This year I'm not gonna have that many, so we're not gonna do anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely something cool you can do, so go check it out on PWP TV. All right, we got some time left here. Change gears a little bit. Royal Rumble pass. Moments, matches, memories.
Can I give you a bad moment associated with a Royal Rumble, but not exactly at the Royal Rumble?
Give it to us. Yeah,
that promo from 24 hours ago.
Oh God, yeah. We talked about that earlier tonight, and I had Seth with me earlier, and he made a good point. He referenced an article that a guy named Justin LaBar wrote today on Bleacher Report about how, you know, WWE doesn't give a hell what we think. They don't care what guys like us think. They're trying to take John Cena and have him talk to the kids, and that's what they want him to do when he comes out there. And that promo was a way to just
considering
the Royal Rumble, and that was
that's a little ironic that LaBar of all people says WWE doesn't care what people think; they're just going to put out there what they want. Considering LaBar writes for WrestleZone, and they'll make up anything in the world and call it an exclusive.
Yeah. I didn't read it, so I'm just paraphrasing what I remember of what Seth was saying. Because when Seth was on, I was still in a panic about this whole Blog Talk Radio thing.
Right.
So I didn't read the article by LaBar. I usually avoid his stuff. Nothing personal. I just read his stuff before, and it wasn't good. So it was pretty bad, John. What were your thoughts on that promo from John Cena last night?
I was shocked that they picked that, of all things, to end the show.
If that started the show, I wouldn't be as pissed off about it. I think that could have been a good way to kick off the show with some kind of crazy melee like that. And then you could have, you cut commercial, and then you come back, and they're still trying to get the guys, you know, back to the dressing room, and everyone's fighting and everything. And then two guys come out afterwards who have nothing to do with that, with the Royal Rumble, what's going on, and have a match or whatever. There was many ways you could have positioned that better on the card.
Yeah, but Cena was just terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem was, man. I wasn't too fond of it either, but I took it with a grain of salt, you know. I was trying to be positive about it, and I actually predicted on Twitter, like 5 minutes before it happened, that it was going to be a big Royal Rumble thing like they did, like a big battle royal with all the guys. And so I was just waiting for that to happen anyway. I kind of zoned out at that point. And,
by the way, let's be honest. Does anyone really think guys like Curt Hawkins and Michael McGillicuddy are going to be in the Rumble?
Yes.
You know, this year, I don't know this. I don't know what they're going to do this year. I mean, they're officially listed as participants. So,
are they really? I haven't seen that on WWE set. I've seen some other sites assuming that.
Well,
but
you know what happened was somebody like paused their DVR and looked at all the guys and wrote everybody's name down and said, okay, there's only 23 guys in the ring. That means there's 7 open slots for whatever. Which is
who was the moron that did that, too?
Somebody
reading
did that.
Every person's name.
Somebody listening probably did that. You know what I mean? Someone definitely did that. There's no question.
They did
in my
that
mind
on WrestleZone. I'll tell you that much. WrestleZone is swearing that, like, Curt Hawkins is in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, we know what we all think about WrestleZone. Like the Impact Zone, I don't really like it that much.
Yeah.
You're putting down wrestling for it. It's supposed to be positive here, Jay.
If you really look at who they've named so far, it's not a bad crop of guys. It's really not. If you really look at, like, I think they've officially named, like, maybe half the field. It's really their big run of guys.
They got a lot of guys. They got guys.
You know, you may not see the Justin Gabriels of the world or guys like that. If, you know, especially if guys are going to do double duty, you know, you may get a good crop this year from 1 to 30, and then you're going to get the surprise guys.
Who do you think is going to be a surprise? Let's go with that.
Go ahead, John. Do you think there's going to be anybody who's going to be a surprise?
Yeah. You'll probably get the Outlaws.
Bob Backlund.
Oh, my God. If only with Backlund. By the way, how about Backlund's run in 93?
That was great.
You know what? That was really cool because at one moment you had in the ring, you had like Flair, Backlund, DiBiase. You had like a great mix of talent in the ring at one time.
I'm not going to lie. I thought somehow Flair was going to beat Hart for the belt. And Backlund, when he was in there with like Savage and Yoko, I thought Flair was going to beat Hart for the belt and Backlund was going to win the Rumble. And they were going to go completely old school at WrestleMania 9 and go Flair Backlund for the title. I was like 17 at the time, and I was like, holy smokes. They're going to make this like 1980.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. I mean, Backlund did end up getting his second run with the WWF Championship and everything.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I marked out big time last night when he got announced officially because, again, I don't pay attention to any of that crap that these news with a Z, these sites report, because I've heard King Kong Bundy's name, Kamala's name. They were all saying, expect Kamala to be the second guy announced. Well, we got Backlund. So I'm happy with Bob.
And you know what? You know what's good about Backlund? Triple H was behind that. So if Triple H got Backlund and Triple H pushed for that, there may be some life to Bruno.
Man, do you think they'll pull Bruno like a rabbit out of the hat and just stack up this show? I mean, what do you figure Bruno Sammartino would be like the sole headliner, or
I don't think Bruno, in a broad aspect of pro wrestling, especially at a time where Mick Foley was, you know, at the time of the ratings were highest than ever before, there's no way you can compare it. I know that sounds weird to say, but based on how many people watch Bruno and watch Mick Foley, there's a big difference.
Yeah. I actually, Will's right. There's.
I know I'm right. That's why I'm saying it.
All right. Oh. Easy there, Chief.
Take it easy, Will.
You know, but he's right in the sense of you get the 18 to 34 wrestling fan now. They know who Foley is. They only know who Bruno is because of his name being in the news. How many can actually say, I've seen a Bruno match?
I can't say I have.
I'll be honest with you.
I saw them when I was a little kid.
I've been watching since 1985. That was the first time I ever saw anything. But my biggest memory of Bruno is him attacking Savage when he was doing the interview with him after Savage attacked Steamboat, and I think Bruno called him like a piece of slime. But I couldn't tell you anything about a Bruno match. I couldn't tell you anything about his title run except for the fact that it was forever. You know, I've never seen any of his stuff in ring except for the stuff towards the later end. You know, and I'm sure there's much more to his career than a Battle Royal appearance at WrestleMania 2 and going after Savage during an interview.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've seen a lot of Bruno clips in the past on DVDs and whatnot, but for some reason, man, even if they can pull it off this year, I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think it's going to happen. Who knows, though? You know, we'll just have to wait and see.
I could see this stacking up because you know what? That's what they did in 05. That's when you got Hogan, you got Piper, you got Orndorff, you got Sheik, you got Volkoff, you got Jimmy Hart, you got
the Sheik. Cheeky baby.
Yeah, I said Sheik. Sheik, Volkoff, Jimmy Hart, Orndorff. You got all those guys. That was like your whole class right there. So they have done these big name entire classes before. So it's possible.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Bruno would be a huge addition, and you know, especially since it's in the Garden, I wouldn't be surprised to see that take place. But if anybody else is going to go in, let's think outside the box for a second for other possible inductees, because you know we got a whole list of other people that are going to go in. I mean, we're only two into this. TLV, anybody off the top of your head, who do you think is going to get in the Hall of Fame this coming year?
Well, you know, we already got two top names this year, so, it's kind of hard to, I don't know, it's pretty tough this year to figure out names. I mean, I heard that Kamala name go around, I didn't believe that. I don't know, come back to me on that one, I'll get you an answer at the end.
How about you, John, same question.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think Backlund's going to be on USA on the special. I think it'll definitely be Foley. So you got to look at it like that. I don't think Backlund makes TV, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't want DX in. I've seen that. The click. Like
Paul Heyman could be going there. Paul Heyman could go in.
He's a heel. I don't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't put Heyman in now. I wouldn't mind seeing, to be honest with you, I'll give you two guys off the top of my head. I wouldn't mind seeing Rick Rude go in as maybe the, you know, the guy who's passed away that they seem to do every year. I wouldn't mind seeing Rick Rude. And I'll tell you right now, another guy who I think gets a lot of underappreciation, but if you really look back at his body of work, how about Rick Martel?
Yeah,
or Jake Roberts, I think, would be another great name.
Jake, yeah, he's been rumored.
Yeah, Jake the Snake would be cool. I think, you know, Scott Hall's another guy whose name's popped up. I'm really not fond of the idea of either DX or The Click getting inducted as a, a unit, especially this coming year. I really don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, and who does that induction?
Who does it? Probably Flair or something. I don't know. But who does the induction, right? But also, I don't want to see Triple H have to upstage Mick Foley again. Come on, how many times has he beaten Mick Foley? Before we made him, you know, don't get inducted in the Hall of Fame and upstage the guy again. He doesn't deserve it on that night, if any night, you know?
Yeah, no. I we talked about this on Wednesday night. For as cool as that would be, got to remember, you got to think back what The Click was. The Click was a negative thing to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go tell Bret Hart to go do the induction for The Click.
Yeah, right.
You know, we'll tell all those.
The Undertaker thought they were a big pain in the ass too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't think that's a smart move. If you want to do it, you do the NWO and you do DX. If you can't get Hogan for, you know, the obvious reasons, you could put in Hall, Nash, and X-Pac.
I think the NWO would be cool. I wrote an article about that. They got a lot of play. I mean,
yeah.
On that DS site, that Bleacher Report crap, I posted it there, and it got tons of comments. A lot of people were talking about it. Put it on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. It's one of our most popular articles we've ever had. Definitely, I thought it was a good idea, and I hadn't heard until I wrote that article, and I'll be dead serious. And it just came to me as a whim, an idea. Until I wrote that, I hadn't heard any, not one mention of this. Not a mention. I did this around Christmas. I didn't hear one mention of any kind of possibility of them getting inducted as a group. And all of a sudden, just like a couple weeks ago, I started hearing this on the dirt sheet sites and everything. So I don't know if that's a coincidence or what. Probably is. I mean,
You probably need Hogan to break free of TNA. Then you could do it.
I think they could have him.
Flair went in, you know, during the whole thing. They could kind of do something like that again.
You think Dixie's gonna work with them on Hogan though?
He did it on Flair.
There's a big difference to Dixie with Flair and Hogan. That's number one. Number two, you got Christian in exchange for Flair. Okay.
Yeah,
you got Christian to come back. Who else is there that can be of any appeal to Dixie that they can say, okay, you give us Hogan for the night, we'll give you so-and-so for the night. There's nobody.
Well, listen. I'll tell you what speaks, and that's money. I mean, Dixie, if there's anybody who's in Dixie's Carter's pocket or ear more than Hogan, just tell me who it is, because they've made the biggest deal when they signed Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's pulling a lot of the strings backstage, no matter if you want to admit it or not. I guarantee he is. Like, I don't even know this for a fact. I haven't been backstage. I'm not going by what I've read on the internet. I'm going by just Hulk Hogan's track record, knowing that he's Hulk Hogan, one of the greatest of all time. He's definitely pulling some strings backstage. No question about it.
Bound for Glory 2011.
Yeah. Dude, if Vince McMahon says, you know, we'll give you $1 million.
Don't remind me of that.
Or whatever. If Vince McMahon says we'll give you $500,000 or something to come into the Hall of Fame, you know, merchandise sales, whatever, you know, he'll work out some kind of deal. And Hogan says, oh, Dixie, please, brother, please let me go in this time. You know, Dixie's not going to say no to him. You think Dixie's going to really say no to Hulk Hogan if he's saying, listen, let me go in the WWE Hall of Fame? Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he can put
TNA
over.
Yeah, but you know what, though? There's a bigger power that Dixie answers to above Hogan. As much as Hogan has her in the palm of his hand, Dixie still answers to Bob and Janice. And they're right now, they're all about business and what's best for TNA. If Hogan tries to talk Dixie into doing it, they're going to turn around and say, what's in it for us? And a small $500,000 check from Vince is not enough. I'm telling you, it's not. I would love to see it because the Flair thing could have set a nice precedent for everything. But I can't see Vince having anything short of Punk, because Punk technically... he had an early run in TNA. I think Punk is the only thing possible, and there is no way in hell Punk is going anywhere near anything for TNA. There's nothing Vince can offer them.
I don't know about that, man. I don't think it'd be a talent exchange, really. I really don't. You know, it's obvious that this so-called lawsuit has been dropped. People have talked about that and stuff. I think it would just be a business move. I really do. I don't think it would have anything to do with the talent exchange. I don't think that's really necessary.
Then if you're Vince, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't trust Hogan with a mic, because I don't need Hogan going into business about TNA at my Hall of Fame.
Hogan, I've seen Hogan do interviews on ESPN. I've seen him do interviews. I've heard him do interviews on the radio. It was right before Battle for Glory.
He doesn't mention
that.
There's a difference between doing an interview on ESPN and not mentioning them, but you're in the WWE's house and you could put your company over. I don't know.
it's a long shot regardless, but I don't personally think it's going to happen, because the chances of it happening are so slim at this point in his career. But I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen sooner or later. You know,
it would probably happen once he left TNA. I guarantee you that would probably be the following WrestleMania. You would see that happen. I think he's got to be free and clear of TNA, and then I think they would do it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, even that, if they did that this year, that would upstage everything. If you put Hogan back in the Garden to get inducted into the Hall of Fame again, that would upstage Foley. That would upstage. I think they're legitimately setting out for Foley to be the main event at this thing. You know what I mean? He'll be the guy that closes it for sure.
I don't think
there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
But who knows, man? Maybe Mick Foley will make another cameo in the Royal Rumble match coming up this Sunday. And just let everybody know, we are doing a Royal Rumble post-game show on Sunday night, 11 o'clock right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Once again, folks, I got to apologize one more time. I've been doing it all night. We expected to have the Prodigy Mike Bennett live on the line tonight, and it didn't happen. There's been issues with Blog Talk Radio all night long. I talked to Mike Bennett earlier tonight. I actually received an email from him at 8 o'clock, an hour before we went on the air. You know, I sent him an email at 7:15 saying, hey, Mike, just sending you my customary email before the show. What number would you be calling in from? So I knew, you know, when to introduce him and what time he'd be calling. I said, we got a two-hour window. Call in between anywhere from 9 and 10. He responds, gives me the phone number, which I won't release for obvious reasons. Gives me the phone number and says, that's my number. I'll probably be calling in right at 9. So I emailed him back and said, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, then I just emailed him again saying, hey, what happened? But I'm not sure if it's a Blog Talk Radio. He could have tried to call in the Blog Talk Radio, and because of their technical difficulties tonight, maybe he just gave up and said,
I'm telling you this, the 760 number says it's disconnected.
Yeah, that sucks, man. That sucks because, God, it just blows because I've tried to contact him. I even tried calling him a couple times tonight, and it didn't seem to work. There's always the possibility, you know, Mike Bennett's he's a wrestling star, you know. He's a big star in Ring of Honor, and he seems like a nice guy, but it's always possible he could have tried to call in and said, oh, man, this kid gave me the wrong number. What kind of Bush League shit is this? I'm not going to call him. So that's always a possibility, too. I sent him another email, let him know what the situation was. We're going to try to reschedule with the Prodigy Mike Bennett. So if you listen tonight, if you're listening right now, and you're expecting Mike Bennett online, I sincerely apologize. There's nobody more upset about this than me. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. I've been hyping it up for weeks. Hyped it up a bunch on Facebook, a bunch on Twitter. I have a whole list of questions, and it just didn't seem to work out. But, John, you guys got a nice guest tomorrow night. I know you didn't know, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Belize, the former Sophia Cortez from NXT.
Yeah, it's going to be a good interview for sure. She's going to be promoting a local show, correct?
Yeah, I know she's doing the FWE show on the 16th of February. So she's there. She's going to be facing Reba Sky, Matt Hardy's girlfriend. So, you know, talk about that. Talk about, you know, the time at NXT and, you know, where she sees herself going from here. You know, any interest in a return back, you know, maybe any interest from TNA, you know, all that good stuff. I'm sure, you know, me and Seth will have some stuff lined up for her. We had a good interview with Grey Wolf last week, and then we got a couple other things coming up in the following weeks.
Yeah, Grey Wolf was an interesting cat. He was definitely an interesting guy. I listened to a lot of that interview, and that was a good one. So
I'll tell you what impressed me the most about him was I asked him straight out. He's very hardcore about his gimmick and his character because it's part of who he is. And I asked him point blank. I said, if Vince or Dixie came to you and said, we want to sign you, but we want to completely revamp you, would that be a big consideration for you? And he said he would probably decline straight out. And you know what? I can respect that, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No question about it. Another announcement I want to make, Grey Wolf was good last week. We got Evilise tomorrow night. But next week here on the show, he contacted me about this interview. So I don't think there's any doubt that he's not going to call in. But we're going to have legendary ECW referee Jim Molyneux on the line next week here on PWP Radio. Next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Jim Molyneux will be with us. We're going to be talking some of the legendary moments of ECW, try to get some behind-the-scenes knowledge of what went on with some of the most infamous storylines and angles and wrestlers in history. We're going to talk about some awesome road stories, whatever, from the ECW locker room. He's also going to be talking about his promotion and his wrestling school that he's got opened up in South Jersey called Old Time Wrestling. We'll be talking a bit about that, but we will have Jim Molyneux next week.
Nice. That's going to be a good interview next week.
It's going to be a good one, absolutely. He emailed me about it. He, you know, straight up, I was shocked. I thought I was getting ribbed when I saw his address in my mailbox. But the first thing he wrote was like, yes, this is the ECW referee, Jim Molyneux. So, you know, that should be pretty cool. Yeah, so we got, you know, the future looks bright. We had a little, this is our first major difficulty tonight, folks. We've been extremely consistent. I think we've been really damn good with ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're farther ahead than I thought we would be, not even a year into this thing. We got over 760 likes on Facebook. I know, like, wrestling shows and certain shows that maybe me and TLD used to be a part of that aren't even, like, 1,000 likes on Facebook, and they've been around for years. And I just want to thank everybody who's clicked that like button, who's joined us in any kind of conversation on Facebook, on Twitter, on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I'm not asking you to go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com.
Yes, you are.
You know, I'm not asking you to go there all the time, you know. Go there daily. Check it out. If there's something that piques your interest, read it. If it doesn't, come back the next day or a couple days later, because we constantly have new articles and more content cycling in and out of the site. We're trying to make this thing positive and make it a special environment for all you fans out there, everybody who's listening, everybody who has listened, whether you're downloading on iTunes, listening on Blog Talk Radio, either way, we appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Tonight it was just a speed bump. That's basically all I want to call it. So,
it's a skin mark from the underpants.
Right. So let's get some final thoughts. We got 90 seconds left. TLB, some final thoughts on the Royal Rumble coming up this Sunday.
I'm really looking forward to it, and the post-show will obviously explain all of our thoughts and prayers about the show, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think we're going to see CM Punk win. I think John Cena is going to win the Royal Rumble. As much as I hate to say that, I think that's the way it's going to go down.
I'd say that. JCD, any final comments tonight, Royal Rumble? Will you be joining us on the post-show?
Yeah, probably.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
any final
comments? Not to copy off everyone else, but give me Punk, give me Cena, give me Del Rio, and give me Road Scholars.
Yeah, I've been picking Ryback. You know, if I had to put money on it, I'll stay with it. I mean, but I know it's in my final four. I know it's in my final four. One have him involved, whatever. But I still think he's a dark horse candidate. I think he can still possibly pull it out. But,
I'll give you a real quick call. Punk Rock rematch at Elimination Chamber with Cena as the ref.
That would be pretty cool. But listen, we got to go, guys. So thank you very much for joining us. Anyone who's listened, thanks a lot. We're very sorry tonight. We couldn't pull through, but it's not our fault. I promise it's Blog Talk Radio's fault. So on behalf of them, I apologize. Thank you very much for listening to TWG Radio. For TLD, for JCD, this is Jersey Sean J. Keep it real, everybody.
You stay classy.